Presentation is brain genes, changing times, changing databases, digital evolution.
Hi, it's my privilege to be the first speaker, and I will probably be making a lot of the other speakers look good because I'm only marginally involved in the Grain Genes database effort. I served as acting research leader and helped organize the Grain Genes Liaison Committee meeting last year prior to Ann Bleckel taking over. So Jerry couldn't be here today because of other obligations, and this is very much his talk. And the Grain Genes team, it really consists of Jerry Lazo, Yang Gu, Dave Matthews, Dave Hain, and now Sayer Heron. So if you see me flipping through my notes here, it's because I'm going to be stumbling possibly and might need to refresh my memory about the points that Jerry needed me to make. So I'm going to be talking about the project from when it first started to the state of Grain Genes today, and also some possible new directions that it will be taking under new leadership. We're just recruiting new lead scientists for Grain Genes and also have several other vacancies. So there's really been a passing of the torch that's occurring as we speak. So Grain Genes use its core competencies really as a permanent repository for analyzed data that pertains to wheat, oats, rye, barley, and other triticy crops. This is primarily in the form of genetic maps. We've showing here is some of the recent data sets that we've integrated into the Grain Genes effort, but also QTL locations, effects, and community resources such as jobs, events, news, contacts, information, etc. Last year at the Liaison Committee meeting, there were a number of priorities that were identified. The top priority was engaging with the breeding and genetics communities that work on triticy. Then we also are hoping to integrate a new best map and genome sequence data sets to improve the curation tools that are being used in Grain Genes, and to link existing maps to newer tools such as genome browsers. And I mentioned the vacancies that are existing right now. So Grain Genes started, actually Grain Genes started as a gopher, which is sort of local interest. I only mention it because that was invented here at the University of Minnesota and was sort of a precursor to the World Wide Web. In its early days, though, it used a model organism database called ACEDB, which was invented for C. elegans, and this was a standalone system that had a number of tools and allowed biologists to access a number of different data points on their desktop machine. This is just one example of a tool. This was BLAST showing EST hits in different colors with the thickness representing the strength of the hit. So we quickly migrated onto a web server using ACEDB and Perl. And then as the need for more data became important, we switched to, in the early 2000s, to a relational database, MySQL. And this was the state of Grain Genes for many years, running under MySQL. This is just sort of a snapshot over of events that have influenced Grain Genes over the past 20 years, things such as computing power, sequencing capacity. newer software. So, for instance, in 2000, we started using a relational database. Now, there are other flavors of databases. In 2007, Drupal and other content management systems started to become available. And then the upper three tracks show some of the other database efforts that GrainGenes has collaborated with over the years, and the state of genome sequencing. And in 2000, we had Rice and Arabidopsis. And then in 2007, the Brachypodium genome was then accessible. And now we have many, many sequence resources for wheat, barley, and the genomes are being finished. And then on the top track, we just have some grants that GrainGenes was involved in that served as our motivation, if you will. So this kind of summarizes what I've said and how GrainGenes has evolved through the years. Initially, many other crop-specific databases started off as an HDB interface. Then, when we moved to the web, we started using data languages such as Perl and environments like CGI Bin. Then, many crop databases have switched to relational databases and still using Perl. But as things have moved forward, we've used other more powerful programming languages like PHP, which is, you'll hear about the Trudici Toolbox, for example, in a later talk. And this effort uses PHP. Then, finally, many data crop databases are using now content management systems that are modular in form. These also use PHP, and this is a list of some of the databases that currently use content management systems. And so GrainGenes is moving in this direction, and I'll be telling you a bit about that. So GrainGenes' initial foray into content management systems involved collaboration with the USA Barley and Wheat Scab Initiative. We tried using the Zoops content management system, and we found that that was a bit inflexible and was difficult to manage. So we switched to Drupal, and Drupal has a large following, about 18,000 different modules available. And is very flexible, and we have liked it and are continuing to use it. So the benefits are the large community, including a very active local user group in our area. Modules in Drupal already exist for several desired applications. They may not be biological, but they help with the community efforts and reduce the curation time that's necessary to manage these community efforts. The nice thing about Drupal is that there are many different themes, so it lets you customize the look and feel of your website. Later, we're going to be hearing from Dory Main about efforts to create Drupal content that allows access to Gmod resources that have a variety of biological tools but use a different database design than what we use. So this is an example of how easy it is for a system administrator to employ some of these modules. It's really a matter of clicking on to enable a specific module and then configuring it further if necessary. So you have a very sort of menu-driven selection of resources that you can employ to quickly develop your website. So as Green Gene stands now, we're developing these resources. We're thinking under new leadership, of course, the new lead scientist will make all of the important decisions here, but we're moving in the direction of employing the content management system, and right now using Drupal. We have other tools that we've integrated, such as CMap and GBrowse, Blast, and have extensive collaborations right now with the Trudacy Toolbox efforts. So how we've implemented the content management system, basically what you see here is on the outer edge of the screen, the Drupal system, and then within, encapsulated within that is a display that allows access to the MySQL database, which is in the content of that box is controlled by the scripts and style sheets, cascading style sheets. This is simpler but similar to the way the Triple system works, in my understanding of it, and you'll hear, of course, more about this later. But there you have a Drupal shell and then this Chaito database schema and the Triple display. This is what our front page looks like today. We have the tools and the community information. And then in the upper corner, we have access to the database in the upper left-hand corner. And so this now saves curation time for us, which is nice. Some of the features that you can use on Green Gene today are quick queries, which is sort of a menu-driven approach where you can click and fill in boxes to get to the information you'd like to find. And for power users, we also enable SQL queries to be modified through this box at the top. And we do this in a way that minimizes some of the security issues that doing this sort of thing brings up. So our power users like this feature. One of the things that we're in the process of developing, just utilizing a Drupal module called jQuery, this module allows sorting of the results of the searches that you enter, and in some cases might get you to your desired information faster than downloading the whole data table. This isn't implemented yet, but we're currently developing it. So today, now I'd like to focus on some possible future directions of Green Genes. Of course, we're flooded with big data. All information that we're getting is digital, and there's a lot of it. And how are we going to cope with this? Well, there are some efforts that use distributed storage and are basically indexing efforts that point to data sets across the internet and allow you to find those data sets more quickly. For instance, the wheat information system. There are definitely advantages in hardware that will influence how we approach our need to serve up dynamic data in a in a high-throughput fashion. So on the left, we have new coprocessors that are becoming available that can be linked up in series on a motherboard, where on the right, we have solid-state drives that each have the capacity to hold up to 4 terabytes of data and can also be hooked in series to form stacks and computer clusters. Programming languages are undergoing some interesting trends right now as well. This is a screenshot from a website that counts software modules, and you see that JavaScript is undergoing a rapid increase in the number of new modules. And this is under the Node.js repository. Java itself is also seeing active development, as is PHP, which is the light blue box, and that's possibly due to the popularity of Drupal. So JavaScript is a useful, has a number of advantages that include the multi-threading and parallel processing and the ability to serve up web pages very quickly. And it's very attractive for those reasons. This is just a sample of some of the JavaScript modules that are available in the realm of genetics. There aren't many yet, but there's another group that is called BioJS that is developing tools that in biological terms make sense and help to visualize data. These are just some of the examples of these tools that are now currently available. And again, this is a modular system where system administrators can download and enable these tools and immediately have access to them through their website. So this, I think, will be a good platform for future development, especially as it relates to the small grains community and efforts at germplasm and marker studies. The general trend has gone from a system called LAMP, where we have a relational database that serves up information to what are called NoSQL databases, which can take a wide variety of forms, and using JavaScript and more powerful search engines such as Elasticsearch and Solr. And these are going to, because of their adoption in the information science field, are going to be also influential in the biological sciences. So I'll just conclude now by highlighting, talk a bit about our future directions. We hope to improve our database delivery. We think some of the possible directions under new leadership Grain Genes can take would be to take advantage of some of these functional programming languages like Java and JavaScript, and employ these modular repositories that are easily deployed. And we look forward, of course, to hardware upgrades and to experiment with new database structures. So thanks for bearing with me. I guess there may be time for one question.